This is Eddie Albert. It is half past the 20th century, and a little more. But for this senora, it might be the 16th, the 17th, or the 18th century. She's patting out tortillas made from corn she's ground herself, mixed with water she has fetched from the distant well, and cooked over twigs she has gathered in the pre-dawn. The tortillas are for breakfast, for lunch, and if they last, they'll be for dinner, too. For this senora and millions of her neighbors in Central and South America have never known what it is to be properly fed, to have enough clothing, to live in a community free from disease.
United Nations Radio presents Southern Exposure, a visit to Central America. Every Latin American country is different, yet they share many of the same problems. Some are regional, some international. How do these problems affect the United Nations? What can the family of world organizations do to solve them or to ease them? During the next half hour, Mr. Eddie Albert will join United Nations Radio to search out some of the answers.
Seems wherever you go in Latin America, the people are in the midst of getting ready for or winding up a festival. This one, the Festival of San Miguel, has been noisy and spirited. But beneath the laughing faces in the small Mexican village, I saw a somber mask. The kerosene lamps flickered low. The party was over. The streets littered with remains, the wine bottles, the half-eaten pastry, a torn mantilla. And coming now, the vultures, los buitres, a giant, clumsy bird with a red head and blood-red eyes. He is the sanitation department, his stomach the town's ever-ready garbage can. There was no sound as he dived on the cracked conch shell and then nibbled on the orange rind. He is silent. The silence I learned to recognize very often in Central America. The silence when death is near.
This is Sue Burnett of the United Nations Children's Fund. Las Cruzitas is in Honduras, Central America. Las Cruzitas means little crosses, and the crosses are the graves of hundreds of children scattered through a shanty section known as the Barranca. The children died because of poor sanitation and sewage facilities, and because they did not have enough to eat.
Dr. Diaz Gonzalez, a veterinarian of Cuernavaca, Mexico, reports that in 1 year, 12,000 cattle were killed in Morales by rabies transmitted by bats. If the source of the rabies had been eradicated, these animals could have been saved for food.
This is Dr. Sachs of the World Health Organization. Something like 1,000 million human beings in the world live under the threat of malaria. In Mexico alone, 2 million people a year are attacked. Of these, some 25,000 a year die.
I thought very hard about these things. I wanted more facts. Hard facts.
What is Latin America?
Latin America is an area of 8 million square land miles in the Western Hemisphere, comprising 12% of the Earth's land surface.
Thank you.
There are 20 separate countries, 14 dependent territories, total population 191 million. Average yearly income per person, $300.
Well, for this first program, perhaps we could just concentrate on Central America, particularly the isthmus.
Yes, indeed. The isthmus lying between North and South America, the major isthmus, extending from the isthmus of Tehuantepec in Mexico to El Chocó of Colombia. It includes Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, and Panama.
What of the people?
Originally Indian, the New World Indian population, came from Western Asia. They migrated via the Bering Strait. In the early 16th century, the Spanish conquest began. They later brought in Africans for pearl divers and slaves. In 1757, Panama, the seat of the colonial Spanish government, became the greatest slave market in Spanish America. Independence for five countries came early in the 19th century, for Panama in 1903. Spanish, Portuguese, French, and Dutch are spoken, as well as ancient Mayan, Aztec, Inca, Chibcha, and other Indian dialects.
¿Cómo está? ¿Okay?
And Hollywood English.
What do they grow?
Everything. And lots of things you've never heard of. Acai tuna, naranjillas, guanabana, chirimoya, for example. Central America is predominantly agricultural, with the major emphasis on coffee.
Coffee break. Be back in 15 minutes.
My dear, shall we go to the new espresso, please? There's one off the Strand with 29 varieties of coffee. More toast, dear? More coffee? Well, this'll wake you up.
A way of life, coffee. But in Central America, it is life itself. Take the senora at the beginning of our program. Chances are her husband works in one of the coffee plantations. If the crop is good, no bugs, no bad weather, there is money in the house. Not a splendid sum, about $200 a year. $17 a month, 56 cents a day. But there is still another if. An export depends on the ability of other countries to pay. And if the other countries are unable to pay, or can buy cheaper elsewhere, there is disaster in the villages of Central America. It is the great danger of a one-crop economy.
It is now generally understood that no country...
Secretary General Dag Hammarskjöld, following the 8th session of the United Nations Economic Commission for Latin America in the city of Panama. On the docket, discussion of a common market plan for training technicians and skilled manpower and the need to extend primary education.
It is now generally understood that no country can afford to have areas of poverty and depression within its own frontiers, and that social justice demands that national resources be deployed for the uplift of such areas. The same holds good, I think, of the international community.
Newest of the United Nations agencies, the United Nations Special Fund, helps governments wishing to explore their potential resources, natural as well as human resources. It has reacted promptly to requests from Latin American governments. With field work having begun only last year, the Special Fund had 16 projects underway in Latin America by early 1960. Awareness of the needs exists. Now let's be specific. What is the United Nations doing in Central America? All right, go back to coffee. At once the root of Central America's economy and the seed of its problems.
This is John Drake of the Food and Agriculture Organization. FAO's job is to study ways of improving standards of living in rural areas, to help provide better food for people's dinner tables, to find more efficient ways of growing crops and getting them to market. With the Economic Commission for Latin America, FAO has undertaken a 5-year study of coffee. When the report is in, the governments may proceed with facts.
On a grassroots level, we have introduced new varieties of coffee plants. Plants that need less room, require less shade. Low-yield plants are being replaced with fresh stock. Sluggish soil revitalized. Outmoded techniques revitalized, too. Ditto outmoded ideas. Folks in the tropics are lazy, people say. They have some sort of a picture of a man in a perpetual siesta, a straw hat over his face, his dog asleep too, and the woman sitting quietly making tortillas. What is true about this picture is that man who is consistently undernourished can't work at his best. In this region, his diet is monotonous and lacking in protein. After a child is weaned, he goes immediately to tortillas, beans, and atole.
An FAO study of a town in Costa Rica showed that one child in three had never tasted fruit or fruit juice. Less than half had tasted milk after being weaned. Only 1 in 100 had ever eaten meat. The diet of corn and beans stultifies, stunts, retards growth and development. It stifles energy. Now FAO has encouraged the planting of fruits and vegetables, not as an export crop necessarily, but to supplement the daily subsistence diets here. We have fishing experts and we have nutritionists to help people make the best with what they have.
The volcano of Irasu, 11,500 feet high in Costa Rica. On its side you see ox-drawn wooden plows, horses and wagons, naked children. At the foothills of Irasu, in Turrialba, is the Inter-American Agricultural Institute and the 20th century. Here, modern agriculture methods are taught to students from all of Central America. Men and materials are supplied from the Food and Agriculture Organization, the International Labor Organization, and the International Atomic Energy Agency.
In our experiments, we have subjected certain seeds to radiation, and we have seen very pronounced structural changes when plants are treated with high doses of radiation, going from 10,000 radcan to 25,000.
Taking cobalt-60 as a source of power, experiments just described by Peruvian scientist Orbegoso to study the effect of gamma-ray radiation on coffee and other plants. Electronic searchlights probing the secrets of growing things. First practical benefits for the people of Central America from atomic energy. 3/4 of the world's inhabitants live in areas lacking in scientific and technical facilities. There are great natural and mineral resources which the people of Central America have not taken advantage of because they do not know how. There are natural barriers, the massive jungles, the mountains, the rivers, the stubborn earth itself. But these are surmountable. The last big barrier is ignorance. It is not a word to be ashamed of, but it is a state to be overcome. Education, learning how to do things, how to use what you have, how to read and write. El Salvador is a poor country. Salaries are low, life is hard and grim, there is much sickness, overcrowding, and despair. There are numerous drowsy towns, like this one, Chanmico, with unpaved roads and no noise to break the afternoon silence except the creak of ox carts and the hoof steps on their way to market. Yet, at one end of town, the people of Chanmico were celebrating. If you were to come with us, you'd find out why. This is how it was on the day the new school was announced.
This is an extremely colorful sight. Grouped in a semicircle in this large courtyard fringed with palm trees are men with their sombreros on, waiting for the start of the ceremonies. Seated at the feet of these men are children, sitting very quietly and orderly with their pet dogs at their feet. You may hear the sound of barking dogs and the bleating of sheep outdoors. This is a very rustic community, and everybody has taken time off from their field work to come to hear
a talk by the head of the Department of Secondary Education.
Venimos a hablarles de un proyecto que tenemos.
We have come to tell you of a project which has been under consideration for some time. Some law of providence, which prevails over everything, is now taking into account your true interests and needs. All of you live here. Many of you were born here. All the children were born here. You love this town, this earth. Now we request each of you to do his share in order that this project may be carried out, that a new school may open here next year. Throughout this entire project, we have sought the help and cooperation of the United Nations, UNESCO. And now some men from far-off countries have arrived to help you. The next voice you hear will be that of the UNESCO representative, Mr. Frank Antonio Porta.
Queridos amigos,
dear friends, we are from the United Nations. We come from far-off countries, leaving our families and our children, in order to improve the living conditions of families and children in other countries. That is why our work is not only technical, but also concerns goodwill towards others. After visiting your homes and becoming acquainted with your needs, I shall draw up a plan for the school. But I want to tell you something. Good ideas and good intentions are not enough. I need your help and advice. We must help each other. It is your school.
It is your school. We must help each other. Another kind of school now. This one in Guatemala. Surrounded by 100-year-old trees on Avenida La Reforma in Santa Clara is the office of the Central American Institute of Industrial Research and Training. Otto Stern, Austrian chemist, formerly with the United Nations Technical Assistance Team, is director.
As an executive arm of the Central American Economic Integration Program of the United Nations, we at this institute are mainly interested to help in the adjustment of existing industries to the future economic integration, to suggest new types of industries, and to help those industrial enterprises already established to enlarge and modernize their industrial plants.
Recipient of a $900,000 grant from the United Nations Special Fund, Ika'iti is a bridge between the laboratory and the field. In another laboratory, important work by scientist Edwin Berkowitz from the United States.
As you probably know, one of the staple foods in Central American countries is corn. The grain is processed by an outdated method to make the tortilla, or local cornbread. In practically every rural home, and in many homes in the larger cities, this manner of preparation is still the standard procedure. In its most primitive form, the making of the dough for the tortilla may take up to 2 or 2.5 hours for a 10-pound batch. If the flour is made on an industrial scale, the necessary time is cut to 1/5 of the original time required by the traditional method. Another of the advantages is that the flour can be used as an enriched food. This means that the flour can be enriched with any number of components so that those who consume it will have a more properly balanced diet.
Scientific research on tortillas to make the senora's work easier. Such investigations on matters simple or intricate are indispensable to the future of industrial and economic development of Central America. Water, a simple item. The lack of water. Fresh water, available water, a problem throughout Central America. In the village of Loma de Ramos in El Salvador, there was no water. The townspeople walked 2.5 hours to the nearest well. They carried it home in clay pitchers. This is how it was. This is how it had always been. But one day, United Nations radio was on hand for...
This is an incredible ceremony, unique in the history of rural El Salvador. The story is this. An engineer from the World Health Organization of the United Nations worked up a blueprint to pipe water down from the mountains. The government provided the pipes, but who was going to get them up the mountain to the well? The people of Loma de Ramos, all 300 of them. Every able-bodied man, woman, and child. They are going to carry the pipes themselves. The bright new pipes are stacked neatly in front of the church at Guazapa. At the town hall...
At the moment,
There are a crowd of people, men, women, and children, gathered in front of the town hall of Guazapa, and you may hear a band in the background. That's the rocket set off by the priest.
The service for the blessing of the pipes begins. The men have removed their sombreros. Heads are bowed. Now comes the prayer. Now the holy water is sprinkled over the pipes.
Primero de felicitación muy entusiasta para todo el pueblo de Guazapa y principalmente para los vecinos de Loma de Ramos.
The priest is saying, we know of the captivity in Egypt of the chosen people of Israel and how the pharaohs did not want them to leave in order to enslave and to exploit them. And God gave them a brave and expert guide to take them out of their captivity and to bring them to the land of milk and honey. Here you found yourself in exile as well. But now you shall have water. And those who have taken you out of the captivity of the scarcity of water are the government and the United Nations people whom God has sent you.
This is a very impressive and touching sight as the villagers march to the street after Mass, carrying the pipes on their shoulders and on their heads. You may have heard the chanting as they marched. They are now headed for Loma de Ramos, a walk of 5 miles in the tropical sun.
The strange safari starts off in the direction of the mountain village. We go along part of the way.
I'm pausing on the long march to Loma Ramos, resting my machine on a stone wall as the people trudge by with pipes on their heads and on their shoulders. It's a remarkable demonstration of fortitude and determination. People, most of them barefooted, are walking over these rocky, unpaved roads. We're passing by thatched huts supported by bamboo reeds, and it is a rather primitive and yet beautiful picture.
Finally, after miles more of torturous mountain paths, they are home. The journey is over. Loma de Ramos, a cluster of small wooden and adobe houses, a few skinny dogs, some underfed chicken and pigs poking lazily about. The pipes are wearily eased from shoulders and stacked in the village square, an area no bigger than your backyard. And then...
¡Viva el área de demostración sanitaria de Guazapa! ¡Viva! ¡Viva el pueblo de Guazapa! ¡Viva Loma de Ramos!
People who never before had water in their town, by their own initiative, helped by government officials and the United Nations World Health Organization, today have water. A small story? I think not. It's a start. In one town, the barrier is broken. Elsewhere, people have built cisterns, sprayed malaria-infested areas, constructed schools and libraries. There are health centers where there were none before. People are learning to read and write who couldn't before. Now, an important point is that the people did it. Governments helped. Other local and international bodies helped. The United Nations may have been the catalytic agent. But the people themselves, in each of the cities we talked about today, have wanted and have carried out these projects. Central American experts are visiting other countries to exchange information, learning from each other. The head of state of a Middle American nation arrived in New York.
Don Adolfo López Mateos a ocupar la tribuna de la Asamblea.
In the United Nations General Assembly Hall, the Assembly President, Dr. Victor Andres Belaunde of Peru, has welcomed a fellow Latin American, Adolfo López Mateos, President of Mexico.
Señor Presidente, señores delegados, y con mis saludos respetuosos,
I wish to reaffirm the profound faith of Mexico in the future of the international organization and our conviction that in the United Nations lies man's only hope of overcoming the crisis through which the world is passing since the Second World War. A new economic international law is being evolved, one based on the cooperation among nations at different stages of development. The aspirations of these peoples and their difficulties underline the main concern of the world to bridge the gap between the advanced countries and the rest of the world that naturally craves for improvement. This is one of the deeper causes of war. Peace is another name for the cooperation between countries. Peace is and must be possible simply because we cannot do without it. With renewed faith in the principles of the United Nations, I bring the message of peace, justice, freedom, and concord which my country sends to all of those represented here.
Envía a todos los países del mundo aquí reunidos.
Progress answers many needs, produces new ones, leaves some untouched. But a difference between earlier and the 20th centuries is that in our time, for the first time, the privileged man recognizes he must help his underprivileged neighbor, not exploit him. And many people agree that it is through the United Nations, internationally, multilaterally, that human need can be met more efficiently, more humanly.
We have brought you part one of a two-part series on Latin America, titled Southern Exposure. Today's program dealt with the United Nations and Central America. A subsequent program will deal with economic and social developments in South America. Southern Exposure brought you the words and voices of Secretary General Dag Hammarskjöld, Mr. Adolfo López Mateos, President of Mexico, scientists from the Central American Institute of Industrial Research and Training, and noted experts from the UN's family of specialized agencies. The program was narrated by Eddie Albert, written by David Sarek, and produced by the international staff of United Nations Radio.